careless crew, ye know not what ye do. Attend to me and shed a tear or two, for I have a song to sing.
Oh, sing me your song, oh.
It is sung to the moon by a lovelorn moon who fled from the mocking throng. Oh, it's a song of a merry man moping mum, whose heart was sad and who crave no crumb, who sipped no sup and who crave no crumb. It's a sigh.
Misery me, lackadaisy, all for the love of a lady. The merry man will never get his maid. And after an evening of sublime jesting, Gilbert and Sullivan conspire to have Jack Point break our hearts. And it's in the middle of this festivity with a rapturous audience here at the Albert Hall, applauding every single member of the cast, whose names I'll tell you in a second. Just a quick melancholy note, by the time this opera was premiered, Sullivan too was fairly broken-hearted. Gilbert's cleverness with English was so much more celebrated than his music. Even Queen Victoria said that he should write a grand opera and he'd do it very well. But actually, I think he did. I wonder if you agree. Let me give you the names of the splendid performers of this performance. Liza Milne was Elsie, Andrew Kennedy, Colonel Fairfax, Mark Stone was Jack Point, Felicity Palmer, Dame Carruthers, and Mark Richardson, Sergeant Merrill. Toby Stafford Allen was Wilfred Shadbolt, Lee Melrose was Lieutenant Sir Richard Chumley, Heather Shipp was Phoebe Merrill, Tom Randall was Leonard Merrill, and Mary Bevan was Kate. Jonathan McGovern and Marcus Farnsworth were yeomen numbers 1 and 2, and citizens 1 and 2 were Stephen Whitson, who doubled as a very attractive headsman, and Wayne Fitzsimmons. They were all joined by the BBC singers and the BBC concert orchestra leader Charles Mutter, and the opera was conducted by Jane Glover. The performance was directed by Martin Duncan, with choreography by Steve Elias and costumes supervised by Estelle Butler. And now, as Jane Glover joins the cast to receive perhaps the biggest ovation of the night, and the Albert Hall prepares to become just a concert hall in Kensington again, this is Catherine Bott wishing you a very good evening as I return you to Jonathan Swain in Broadcasting House.
Catherine, thank you very much. Catherine Bott there at the Royal Albert Hall. And we're back at the hall tomorrow evening for a prom by the BBC Symphony Orchestra under conductor Osmo Vanska. On the bill is Beethoven's Egmont Overture, Mozart's Clarinet Concerto with Michael Collins as soloist, a rarely performed Delius Norwegian adventure, Eventyr, and finally, to Denmark, Carl Nielsen's Fifth Symphony. 7:30 starting time for that in the hall, and as ever, live here on Radio 3. Well, this Friday night at the Proms is another opera night, another British opera too, but a very different kettle of fish.
Friday night at the BBC Proms, and a complete concert performance of Benjamin Britten's searing psychological drama, Peter Grimes.
Look, now's our chance. The whole sea's boiling. Get the nets.
A work that established a new tradition in English opera and an acclaimed ENO production that's been playing to packed houses since 2009.
We're going to see.
Britten's Peter Grimes from the BBC Proms. Friday night on BBC Radio 3 from 7 o'clock.
Well, back to this Sunday evening, and as you may have gathered, if you've an eye on our schedule, we're running a little late. So a little bit of rearrangement is in order, and my apologies. Tonight's edition of World Roots, scheduled for 10 o'clock, we'll now be keeping for a future broadcast at the earliest possible opportunity. Now on Radio 3, some highlights from the Proms Plus Late event recorded last night after the main London Philharmonic Orchestra prom. It's introduced by Petroc Trelawney.
Welcome on a sultry Saturday night to the Elgar Room at the Royal Albert Hall and tonight's Proms Plus Late. This evening we introduced you two stars of Scottish folk music, a combination of harp, fiddle and voice. Before we meet Twelfth Day, let me introduce our poet this evening, winner of the Eric Gregory Award in 2006, currently working on her first full collection. Reading for us this evening, please welcome Fiona Benson.
I'm going to begin with some poems from a sequence I'm working on called Love Letter to Vincent. And each poem takes one of Vincent van Gogh's paintings as a step-off point and speaks in the voice of one of van Gogh's mistresses. So the titles should be fairly familiar because they're all his paintings. I've nicked them. Okay. Yellow Room at Arles. I was back in your yellow room at Arles. An ochre cube with a bed like a crib and your paintings all over the walls. But that's not it. I wanted to tell you that it's so much worse, that the times of clarity and grace are more and more remote, that I'm losing ground to the dark. So I've dug my way back to your golden room, your wounded girl, your damned and lovely prostitute, come to sleep it out, teepeed in your scarlet blanket, with the lamplight dimmed to a red bordello warmth and a chair against the door. We'll talk or make love or sit and flip cards, whatever you want. Just ferry me through, unharmed, uncut. Sunflowers. Look at the millstream mechanism of each throat, its supple, gulping stem. Small hairs lift the tender erections of stamen, and at its center is a dusting of crumbs. Still, there is this unslaked thirst in the higher cells, as water burns from leaves like shallow pans, and the chaffy head erupts in flames. This is how I would have us love, this long drink after a drought, this thirst. Dear one, I listen to you move in the other room, and I burn. Your meanest tread outside my door, and I almost come, but you never enter in. Let me speak to you in signs. Here is a seed for your palm. Each striped seed holds the germ of a flame. At the heart of each seed, this blaze. At the heart of each blaze, a pincushion tucked with seed. And I burn. I'm going to finish with Plastiforum. It's gold under the awning. No longer summer, but cafe lamps incinerate the dark, and all its gold internal doors lead into warmth. High blue shutters open on the street. A tree drips needles on the cobblestones. Shop fronts doze. A night like this is good for living. You can hear the kiss of lips leaving a cigarette, a couple making love upstairs, the wild stars spinning. You paint a broken yoke of gold as quickly as you can, and the café dais goes on and on. The garçon waiting cock-a-hip for the last late flirters, these brandy talkers, mean with tips and slow to drink, wrapped up warm and in it for the long haul.
And let's welcome our musicians to the platform this evening, who rather wonderfully link the different ends of Scotland. One is from Orkney, one comes from the Scottish borders. 12th Day, they are called. We welcome to the stage Catriona Price. She is the Orcadian, and she plays fiddle and sings as well. Esther will be singing and playing harp. Esther from the border country. Welcome both to the stage here in the Elgar Room. 12th Day. Thank you. More then from Twelfth Day in a moment. Let's welcome back our poet this evening, who has come here this evening from the fine city of Exeter, where she makes her home and teaches at the poetry school there. Please welcome back Fiona Benson.
Thank you. After all those love letters to Vincent, I thought I'd better read one to my husband, James. This poem is about the first time we met. He has absolutely no recollection of the event. Poem for James. Summer. Thunder pulsed on the horizon, while hummingbirds slipped through the thickened air to circle the dropper, sip sugared water, and I half waded, half swam, thigh deep in pollen, which rose in a haze from their meadow-grown lawn. I was straight off the bus in that glaze of heat, my unwashed skin peppery with sweat, rucksack, camera, dirt, bearing me down to the devil. But there you were, waist deep in saffron, your long arms folded and every hair on them glowing like bronze, your red hair on fire and your dark eyes attentive, though you don't remember, which is why I'm writing it down. From the goldenrod in bloom to your nimbus of insects lit by the sun. The next poem is from part of a commission that I've just completed for a couple of organisations called WordQuest Devon and Cypress Well. And they wanted some poems about Devon. And this one describes a bear skull, which is set in the roof of Kent's Cavern in Torquay. And you can put your fingers up into it. It's very eerie. Cave bear. You snarl in the lintel and hold your ground, your lower jaw blown out, the roof of your mouth vented and rough, constellate of bone shard, tooth. Set at your neck is the muzzle of a cub, its crooked skull. 400,000 years embedded in this cave, drip of lime, dirt in the trench of your rotted tongue, the hollow of your brain cased in stone, till you are a vault for the one clear thought of your life. The cub is dead. You show your teeth as the massive slab of your heart gives way. And I'll finish with this poem for my daughter, Isla. Daughter song. Once all this is done, soaping you in the bath, your half songs and wet arms, and the owl in the woods behind the house, and the scream of a vole caught up, soaring through the boundless dark. And once all this is gone, the sea crept in from the dazzling bay, its mouth even now at the red cliffs. Once it's travelled in and these high meadows are under water entirely, the vetch rotted back and the warrens flooded sumps and the fox runs trampled by the current and the fox herself long drowned, still my love for you will ride, ride on, like that star in the old songs, its long journeyed light, helpless and absolute. Yes, though it makes no sense, and I speak for your father also in this. Our love is like that. It hurtles on, and you are its lodestone, and you are the ground it falls upon. Thank you very much.
Fiona, thank you very much indeed. Now, let's hear more from Twelfth Day. I just want to have a quick word with Katrina and Esther. What's the first piece we're going to hear in the next set? Who's going to introduce it?
Well, it's another Manchester-inspired one. If anyone's been to Manchester, you'll know the Curry Mile. This is a track called Curry.
Excellent. Curry it is. Twelfth Day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
That was Orkney Twister by Twelfth Day, ending our highlights from last night's Proms Plus Late at the Elgar Room of the Royal Albert Hall. The poet Fiona Benson was reading her own works, and the programme was introduced by Petroc Trelawney. Well, if you've tuned in expecting to hear World Roots, my apologies, the Gilbert and Sullivan live prom this evening lasted a little longer than we expected, and we'll be broadcasting tonight's edition of World Roots at a later date. Jazz lineup is, as usual, at 11 o'clock tonight, a set by saxophonist Karen Sharp tonight. Until then, Leonard Bernstein, his Prelude, Fugue and Riffs, a piece commissioned by jazzman Woody Herman to suit Herman's own band and to suit his own clarinet playing. Unfortunately, the solo clarinet part in Prelude, Fugue and Riffs didn't give Herman the kind of spotlight he was looking for. As it happened, Herman's band broke up shortly after Bernstein produced the piece, and it was left to Benny Goodman to premiere the work in 1955. Clarinetist Michael Collins is in the Goodman role here with Simon Rattle conducting the London Sinfonietta.
Thank you. Thank you.